T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Merloni and Fourier.
No, I'm apologizing to you. Yeah. I'm saying, like, okay, this is a baseball thing. Celebrating every single win, even if you're in second place with champagne,
like
is a thing.
We like to boost.
Okay, I don't get it. Nobody really gets it other than baseball players. Right. That's fine.
Do the Patriots have any idea who's coming to town this weekend?
How about you, Cowboys?
A team with Super Bowl aspirations?
Super Bowl is Mount Everest, and we're still at the bottom right now.
A team that's building something special?
This is a team that has the makings of doing something really special.
Christian's head must be spinning.
And I think they have a really good chance to beat the Dallas Cowboys. I'm just going to call it now.
Ah,
I think they're going to beat the Dallas Cowboys.
It's Lou.
Why are they reacting angrily to me? Why am I angry back? Maybe we can look at one another and not see someone different, but see someone alike.
I think you're being facetious here.
It's Christian.
So many things can use ED.
It's Merloni and Fourier on WEEI.
Well, fourth and final hour here, Merloni and Fourier. We got you covered here. Asked a question before the break. Who do you have more confidence in this weekend?
Yeah.
Is it the Patriots or the Red Sox?
Who do I have more confidence in? Okay, so let's make it's very clear. I have more confidence overall in the Red Sox.
No question.
Okay, so what my feelings towards the Patriots is different. They need a lot of help. I actually think the Red Sox can take this, can snatch this win away from the Astros. I don't think they necessarily need luck. I don't think they need the ball bouncing their way, you know, fan interference, something crazy like that, the ball ricocheting off, Renfro and going out of bounds and preventing a run. No, I think the Red Sox are a good team. Peaking at the right time, tons of belief in themselves, and everybody playing at their highest level.
No, I would agree.
Yes.
I would agree. It's the Red Sox because they're the better baseball team, a better team right now than what we've seen so far from the New England Patriots. You know, they've beaten two teams with one win. You know, Houston and the Jets, and they're going up against a team in Dallas, and the only shot might be an overconfident Dallas team that is already thinking about the Super Bowl. But I do think that it's the Red Sox. Same scenario as we've been before. Just get one.
Do you feel like you're like you don't want to believe that they're good enough. I don't. I feel like you're so apprehensive.
I'm just
about
a superstitious guy,
and I think maybe that's what it is.
Yeah,
because
I like
you
go the other way.
Like I know what your eyes are telling you. I know you're looking. You're going, oh, look at Alvarez. He's good. He's 6'5". He's a power hitter. Oh my god. Ooh, poor little short little Schwarber. He's just a little short little pudgy little guy. How's he gonna handle it?
Well, I'll say that E-Rod made me feel a lot better. And I still want to see Sale. I expect him to go game two.
Sale should worry you the most.
Yes, well, he does. I think he worries everybody.
Because E-Rod actually, apologized for his play.
This is why, remember we had that poll question, one of these guys is going to have to throw, who would you rather have more confidence in? Would you rather see Sale or E-Rod again? And it was 65% Sale. And I'm like, what are you people talking about? Like, E-Rod, the stuff is there. It's about approach. It's about mentality on the mound. Like, the stuff is there to get guys out. Like, Sale, you're questioning the stuff. You never question his mind. You never question his desire and his heart. But like I said, you know, I feel like that part of him is writing checks that his left arm can't cash right now. Right? And because I don't think he's 100%. So it was always E-Rod because he had that kind of start in him. And he has that kind of start against these guys in him as well. Sale, I got to see it, which is why I think he goes game two. Because, the other day off the next day. So you kind of unload a bullpen a little bit, give some guys an extra day off to get ready for game three. I don't think you can start him game three because the last thing you want when you play game three, four, and five back to back to back is to your game three starter to go out there and give you an inning because it screws you. There's no off day, between those three games, but there is between two and three.
I think Cora talked about, hey, Sale was possibly going to come in the ninth inning of, game four?
Because of the matchups.
I would have felt a lot better about his start game two if he would if he was able to pitch the ninth inning of game four here at Fenway. Just listen, just can we use this as a way to knock the rust off? You know, high leverage situation, crazy set of circumstances. Man, the you know, Tampa's just marching back and they're getting run after run and you have to be good. So he didn't get that opportunity. And now you're telling me the first chance again since he threw 30 pitches and had lasted one inning against the Rays in game two is now going to be up against this lineup, this monster lineup
and a lot of people,
you're afraid of?
He said that, and a lot of people wondering, like, okay, what was that matchup? Well, in that ninth inning for the Rays, it was Choi, Diaz, Meadows. So, again, a three-hitter pocket, and that's what you're seeing now. This is the first time you really kind of seen a Red Sox team in the World Series with this three-hitter minimum rule. When you have a lefty like Sale and you see three guys, Choi, righty, lefty, right? And that's the pocket for him. That's the pocket for Austin Davis. That's the pocket for Josh Taylor. This is how you have to do it, you know, or you're using it to get a guy out of the lineup, you know, so hopefully, you know, later in the game you could take advantage of it. So it was lefty, righty, lefty. That's why he would have had the ninth. But I don't know what you're going to get from him. So that one makes me nervous a little bit. But again, you come back here 1-1. And that way you guarantee three games at Fenway. Maybe you go back there 3-2. Maybe you don't let them leave, which is what we've seen this team do an awful lot of in the postseason. Let's go to Ted in New Hampshire. Who do you got more confidence in, Ted?
I got more confidence in the Sox. But before I get to the Sox, I do need to apologize. Uh-oh. I owe an apology to Christian.
Well, apologize.
What happened?
So a couple weeks ago, after the Sox got swept at home by the Yankees, you guys came on and Lou was angry. And he said, call up if you're angry too. I called up and I was mad. And you wouldn't say that they were Dunsky, and I was on you for that, not saying they were Dunsky, but you were right. They weren't Dunsky, so Christian, I apologize.
Right? So and now you feel like now you have faith in them. Now you believe they can win, right?
I think they can win. I wonder about the pitching staff. Like Lou was saying before, the Astros put the ball in play. They don't strike out like the Rays do. So I agree with what you're saying about Sale, but as far as lefties in the bullpen go, I don't know. Is Salvador Murat okay? Can he get back in there? Can we leave Perez off the roster? Can we leave Big Fudge at home? And I don't think we can win this series if Ottavino's not. You're going to need Ottavino to come in and pitch some high-leverage innings, or else there's no way we're going to. It's a long series. We're going to need the arms.
Well, and thanks for the call. I think the roster's going to be in tomorrow at 10 a.m. Martin Perez is not coming off this roster, in my opinion, because I just think, especially in a seven-game series, if you're down 7-1 in the seventh, he's got to come in and throw 7-8-9. He's got to save a bullpen in a game three or a game four, and have the right guys ready. Sarah Moore's interesting. Matt Barnes is interesting. They left him off the roster before Garrett Richards got hurt, who, by the way, is ineligible for this series because he came out of the last one. So he can't pitch in this series. You can pitch in a World Series if you get there again, if he's healthy. Sarah Moore, Darwinson Hernandez is one guy that I would have put on that roster, and I know he's wild as all get up, but when he's right, he's unhittable. Like, when he's right, he's just, and this, it's a flip of the coin. But we're talking about adding, like, a 12th guy pitcher on this staff. So we'll see how this thing, it's interesting to talk about this pitching staff. I think Lance McCullers being down for the series is everything. It's huge. And it's probably gives you, me, a reason to believe that this thing, you know, that they can beat this team because he is their ace. He is their best pitcher. And I was looking at MLB had this breakdown. Starting pitching, they give the nod to the Red Sox. And a lot of that has to do with McCullers being out. Like, Framber Valdez, who
was that updated as of, like, now?
You know, it was actually before. It wasn't officially out. You know, he wasn't officially out, you know, in this game at all, like in this series. But now that he is, they still gave it to him. You know, Framber Valdez beat you. In two games, he threw 14 and a third, gave up 10 hits, 2 earned runs, 2 walks, 18 strikeouts in two games. He absolutely dealt. But against the White Sox, 4 and a third, give up 4 runs. Then rookie, Luis Garcia, he's number two game two starter, gave up 5 runs in 2 2/3. Jose Urquidy, who didn't even pitch in this series because they bumped him for McCullers. He's your third starter. So, and they give the nod to you. In the bullpen, they still give the nod to you, the Red Sox. They got the Red Sox in 6. You're talking about motivation. I don't think the Red Sox should
read
this.
That's not what you're looking for. You don't want to be the favorite. You want to be the underdog.
Yeah. So, I don't know, Ottavino, I don't know what his role is, but you got to be real careful with him, don't you? We've seen that before. Guy gets on, he steals. I mean, that's just the way it is. Let's go to Wayne in Southie. Wayne, what's going on? Who do you have more confidence in? What's up?
What's up, Maloney, buddy, and what's up for you?
Yo.
All right, I'm going to give you on both things, on the Red Sox and the Patriots. Let me say, with the Patriots, Fourier, this is what I think is going to happen. These are the three things that got to happen if
right,
we, can beat, we
rip,
can beat them.
Rip them
number one, shut down Ezekiel Elliott.
Got it,
shut him down.
Got it.
Number
Next.
Two, Number two, you got to bring the pressure like you did with Brady. Keep blitzing him. Judon. Hey, by the way, is Uche in?
I don't know. Give me number three.
And number three, let Mac rip the ball. Let him throw it every which way but loose.
Okay, every which way but loose.
And with the Red Sox.
A good movie.
Yep. Good way.
Yeah, it was a great movie. And with the, yeah, and they're going to knock him out like they did in the movie. Right, Boye? All right, and number two.
I love you, Wayne.
Keep going, Wayne. Come on. Red Sox.
All right, listen. And with the Red Sox, this is the number one thing. They got to win one out of the two games that they're playing with the Astros, all right?
Yep.
Then they got to come back and win two straight at Fenway like they did against them. Then they got a chance to beat them and go move on to the World Series.
All right. Okay. I like it, Wayne.
If they do that, if they lose the first two games, the Houston Astros are too good. They're done.
Yeah, we'll see. We will see. That'll be interesting. Wow. I like that one.
So that was actually 3-1. Okay.
Yeah, 3-1.
Every Which Way But Loose. Remember that movie?
I do. Clint Eastwood. Great movie.
Classic movie.
They had a,
with the orangutan.
Every Which Way But Loose.
With the orangutan that's punching everybody.
Every Which Way But Loose 2?
Was there another
one? No. Right Turn Clyde?
Yeah. Right Turn Clyde.
All right, John. John Westfield.
Yes.
Dad, John with Lou and Christian.
Of course we're the same age.
You seen that movie Miracle there?
Yeah, that movie. John, what's up, man?
Hey, guys.
What's up?
Hey, guys. Love the show. Love you. Love listening to both your perspectives. I got a quick question for you, Lou.
Yes, sir.
On a lineup.
Yeah.
How do you think it's possible you can move Kike to second?
No.
Dalbach at first. Schwarbaum to left and move Verdugo over to center. Any possibility of seeing something like that?
I don't like that at all. Kike in center field sets your defense. Royals good at second base, you know. And I think the lineup is what it is at this point. You know, I do think that it's interesting. Thanks for the call, John. Valdez is a lefty going game one. Does that put Dalbec at first? You know, I don't see them moving Kike off. I don't. And Arroyo was swinging the bat. He's great defensively. Kike sets your lineup defensively. Center field's big in Houston. It ain't big in right. It ain't big in left. But it's big in center field. I want to keep the outfield defense. But I don't know. I was looking at Framber Valdez's splits. Lefties and righties. I think lefties hit 225. Righties 216. So to me, it's like you just run your best lineup out there. You put Dalbec on the bench. He's defensive replacement late. Forget about this lefty lineup, righty lineup. Like in a perfect world, you want to do it fine. This ain't a perfect world. You don't have that going right now. I am not playing Dalbec at first. He's coming in defensively. That's it. Schwarber, lefty, just same lineup. Keep running it out there each and every damn game. That's how I'm doing. Let's go. There's my man, Danny from Quincy. What's up, Danny?
Lou. Three standouts in the previous series to me that were turning points was Pivetta pitching four shutout innings,
yep.
gave up a walk, struck out seven. That was a clutch stretch for him. And Eduardo Rodriguez, the 18-pitch at bat, that was the turning point of the game. Because if that guy gets on, he's leadoff. 18 pitches thrown, he got the guy out on an off speed, he struck him out.
Yep.
Two guys later, he got the next two guys on three pitches. And I don't know how fashionable it is for a manager to say take, but if there was any time for a manager to say take a few pitches, they could have had him out of the game. As it is, it cost them an inning. So my point is on this. And Hauk was outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
If Sale lays an egg, Lou, he's got to go to the bullpen.
Yes.
Okay? I mean, either come out as a closer or one inning. Because, I mean, then he can let loose for one or two innings. Because what good is five innings from your starter, Lou, who's supposed to be your ace?
I mean, I think all of them are going five.
What do you mean, what good is five innings from your starter?
I'm sorry?
What do you mean, what good is five innings from your starter?
Well, If Sales, he's supposed to be our savior. I don't know, Lou.
I don't think, listen, the thing with Chris Sale is, like, remember, like, you can't rely on Chris Sale to be the savior? Like, that was the whole theme all year long. When he came back, you have no clue what he's going to be like. And he looked good for the first month. And I think recently, and it really shouldn't be a surprise, being in the rotation for a month and a half, he's sort of running out of gas a little bit. You know, it's just the way it is. He's been rehabbing, not building. He's been trying to rehab that shoulder to try to get it to the point where he can throw, but it's not a normal off season. It's not a normal regular season, spring training, where he's building strength and he's strong at the end of the year. Chris Sale's never been strong at the end of the year with the Red Sox. He's always had issues late. Now, some people talk about, like, how he's, you know, he doesn't throw well in the postseason. I just don't think he's ever been right or ever been healthy in the postseason. Even a 2018 run, there's a reason why he was closing. He was out of the bullpen. You didn't know if he'd be available. You didn't know anything about the guy. Like, he was done. He was shot. And I think the same thing about this year. But, yeah, you want to get more than one. Because as you saw, Tanner Houck, because he had to come in that, what was that, that second game and throw five innings, whatever the hell he did in Tampa to win that second game, he came in for one inning. He wasn't sharp a couple days later. You just think, Houck can throw 60 pitches in five innings and just say, yeah, 2 days later, no big deal. Bring in Houck. He's a secret weapon in game four. How'd he look? He didn't look good. He didn't look sharp. You know, so you need innings. You need four or five innings from your starters. And if you do that, then I think you set everything up kind of nicely. Let's go to Joe, in Norfolk. Joe, what's up, man?
Hey, Christian. Hey, Lou, how you doing?
What's good, pal?
Hey, I'm going to tell you real quick in 10 seconds why the Red Sox are going to win the series. If you look at their celebrations, look at the Red Sox. They're all together. They're singing the song, Dancing on Our Own. And if you look at the Strohs, when they had to celebrate, one guy's over there, one guy's over there, one guy's in the shower, it was lame. The Red Sox are together, and they're going to do it.
We hope okay. so. That'll be good. By the way, I just saw this ALCS schedule. Sox, so we know it's 8:07 tomorrow. 4:20 on Saturday. Game two.
4:20.
And then game three, which is Monday night, 8:07. And they haven't announced game four yet. Which I think is strange because they don't really know who's playing who. Because game one for the NLCS is it on Saturday. 4:20 on
like
Saturday,
that.
Apparently.
I like that.
Which, by the way,
I'm getting in the way of my college football.
What do you think about what do you think of your boys, the Dodgers, real quick? I just got to mention this. What do you think about your Dodgers? Think they overthink things often?
Well, I know what you're saying, but I would guess that they have a tendency to, yes, overthink the situation.
So they announced Julio Urias was the starter for game five. Like, on perfect rest. The guy went 20-3 with a 2.96 ERA. I mean, he's been lights out for them all year long. It's not Scherzer, but he's been lights out for them all year long. You've got to be happy. They just announced today that he's not starting. Corey Knebel's going to start, the reliever, who's been an opener at times for this team. So he has started, but he goes an inning into third.
But hold on, because, okay, so this is an analytics thing. This is a nerd notes thing.
This is being too damn cute.
Okay, because, like, when you break it down as far as
six.
When they see it on paper and you mention, okay, who he's facing and why. So he's basically going to pitch. They hope he sees three batters and pitches one inning,
that's
and
it.
Then he's pulled.
That's it. That's what they're hoping for.
So, like, let's get rid of this group real quick. So, technically, you'll face them, you know, two times through the order, and hopefully you're into the fifth or sixth inning.
The opener.
So, you avoid them.
The opener looks fantastic on paper and on a computer. It really does. And I totally understand the thought process of it, right? So, you start Corey Knebel, you know, who's he's tough against righties. And when you face a lefty like Urias, you know, Darren Ruff, you know, led off last game against him. Slater hit third. And it's all righties, right? Chris Bryant was second. Posey was there. So it was like righty, 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 righty. So you start the righty in the first inning to kind of get one time through the top of the order with the tough righty. And then you bring in Urias. But it's just, so on paper, it looks great. But in real life, this guy is going to get the start in game five.
It's an elimination.
I mean, it's an elimination game. Does anybody know how Urias is going to look like coming out in the second inning? Or, you know, coming out and what he looks like coming out of the bullpen? And not just, you know, a starter's about a routine. I show up at the ballpark, it's my game. I go out there at 6:30, I walk out to that, you know, everybody starts screaming for me. You know, I get stretchy, I do my stretch routine, I play catch. I have a routine for 32 starts. I went 20-3 with a 2.96. And now my routine is screwed up. Now you've completely messed with my routine in an elimination game against our arch rivals who we've never played before in the postseason. So on paper, it looks great. And this is just an analytical thing. This is the Dodgers overthinking. This is the Dodgers pulling Rich Hill when he's lights out, you know, in the World Series. This is the Dodgers sitting Bellinger, Muncy, Jock Peterson against Erod.
It's,
you know, I mean, it's
because,
he's because he throws from the left side of his body. You're going to sit your three best hitters in the postseason because they got a pitcher who actually throws with a left arm.
It's
ridiculous. I hope this kid gives up six, and I hope the Giants win.
No, we want the Dodgers to win. We want the Astros to lose. We want full and complete closure.
No, I don't want the Dodgers to win. I want them to
get
absolutely smoked.
Well, you're just a hater.
I just don't like it.
The Red Sox to lose there. How you feel about that?
We have some breaking news.
Uh-oh.
Chris Sale is getting the ball in game number one. Nathan Eovaldi, game two. Ian Brown, blue check mark, just tweeted that.
Wait, what?
Didn't see that.
Chris Sale is your game one starter. Nathan Eovaldi, game two.
Can I give you the reason why?
Do you know why?
I would think the thought process is Evaldi, game one, all hands on deck.
Mm.
Chris Sale, all hands on deck, meaning Pivetta and Hauk. So Sale goes out there, if he gives you two, if he gives you three and he's struggling, you go to Hauk, you go to Pivetta. And what that does is that it gives you Saturday off, Sunday's an off day, Monday's Erod. So whoever gets blown out, whoever goes five, whether it's Hauk or Pivetta, all of a sudden they become maybe a game four starter. You know what I mean? As far as timing your bullpen arms. That's the only thing to me that can make sense. So Sale goes game one.
Mm.
And what it allows you to use Hauk and Pivetta and still have them, somebody available for game four when you need it. That's
this
the only is,
this
thought.
Game just got much more interesting.
Wow.
Much more interesting.
Sale goes game one.
I think it's great. I think it's great. Last time he pitched, remember, 30 pitches, one inning. He didn't do anything. He looked like crap. So he spent the past, like, 5 days tinkering and trying to fix everything.
See, the thing is, when you think about that ALDS, with Evaldi going three, you got to sit there and say, okay, I don't worry about that game as far as how can Pivetta go, right? It's like, I don't worry about that game. He's going to give me five. I'm going to get an inning or two from somebody, and then I'm going to get to my seven, eight, nine guys. So I can afford to kind of go crazy like they did with Hauk or Pivetta in game one, and then Hauk in game two, and then there was the off days. So it allowed those guys to be able to bounce back for game four if you needed it, or game five, you know, if you needed it, right? So if you start Evaldi game one, game two kind of pushes you closer to game four. So you sort of sit there and say, well, if I got to use everybody in game two, now I cut myself short for game four. So I think this is all about using Hauk, using Pivetta.
Makes sense.
Like in game one and allowing somebody to be available game four starter. And whoever doesn't go four innings, if somebody goes one or two, now they're the bullpen guy for this series. So I think that's really what this is about. Sale going game one to allow these guys to kind of, you know, manipulate their long relief arms as the series goes on into game three, into game four. Interesting call. I hope he found his changeup. I hope he found his changeup. But as far as managing your pitching staff, I guess it kind of makes sense. I could see the reasoning behind it. And I'm just guessing that's what it is, but I'm almost positive it would be.
So are you guys still more confident in the Sox than the Patriots?
Yes. Yes.
I would say universally, I think everyone is more confident.
When they go
Red
game
Sox.
One, game two, what the hell's the difference? The difference is how you can use the rest of your bullpen the rest of that series.
It is an interesting approach, though, because we're sitting there, you know, giving the Dodgers a hard time about it. But you don't sit there and overanalyze this one, because what he's doing actually makes sense as far as just, you know, and you still are only going to use Evaldi twice, no matter what. Right? It's not like if he in order to get, you know, two starts,
he lines
you gotta
up
pitch
for game
first,
two and
still,
game six now, yeah. I believe.
And so, who would be game seven? All hands on deck. Everybody get your spikes.
I mean, that's the way you're setting it up. You're going Sale. I mean, you know, traditionally, you're going to go Sale. You're going to go Evaldi. You're going to go Erod. Game four is whoever doesn't have to piggyback somebody too much. You know, game four could be Pivetta.
Hopefully it's
game
Pivetta.
Four could be Hauk, depending on which guy they use for real, real long. And then you come back game five, last game here at Fenway Park with Chris Sale on the mound. Evaldi game six, Erod Ooh. Game seven.
Can you imagine Erod game seven?
Nope.
Can you imagine, like, okay, that.
But that's why they're doing it,
morning
though.
Watch.
I mean, that makes sense, you know, because I remember thinking how they were able to manipulate this rotation to kind of make guys available, knowing that Evaldi, their guy, is sitting there game three, blow out your bullpen, whatever. He's got game three, we're good. So that's the same thing. You know, I'm going to blow up my bullpen with Sale in game one. Everyone's coming in. At least that way they have Saturday, Sunday, Monday off. You know what I mean? So somebody will have 3 days off ready to go game four.
So Alex Beard just tweeted, Cora suggests that going with Sale in game number one is similar to David Price getting a start in 2018 ALCS after struggling in the ALDS against the Yankees.
Hmm.
Okay.
He pitched good in that game, didn't he?
I remember Lou was very excited about David Price after that.
And he threw his ass off.
Oh, yeah, he great. Did. He pitched well.
That's one of the things we forget
like
about.
Like, wow.
David Price, who was like a hero in the postseason that year, absolutely got his boobs ripped off by the Yankees early in that series. Like, just shredded. And you wanted never to see him ever again.
No, he it was like, now I hold all the cards. There's the, I can't remember. Even when he was walking off the mound, it was like lots of cheers and yet no really, you know, acknowledgement of
that's
the cheers.
This guy is scared shitless of it. Yeah, he wants nothing to do with it whatsoever. Was that after that game?
That was after that game.
Well, he did. I mean,
nothing to do with it. He runs from it. He just hides from it. He prays he's never going to get another opportunity. He could tell you all day long that he can't wait for another shot.
There you go. I love it.
I proved you wrong, Lou.
That was beautiful. So 4 o'clock on Saturday. My kid's got a flag football game at 7.
Oh, you're fine.
What are the odds I'm on the sidelines for that one? What are the odds?
Those games last an hour.
Huh?
Those games last an hour.
7 to 8. It's a 4 o'clock start. What innings are those?
Oh, that's going to be the 5th.
No, it better be the 7th, 8th, 9th.
A lot of pitching changes.
You want me to kind of update you on what's going on?
No, that's okay. I'll join at halftime.
You know, I'm going to mess. Oh, my God, another home run.
I don't see me on the sidelines. I got to email the coach.
Sox hit a home run.
Don't see me on the sidelines. I'm sorry. 4 to 7. Wow. Like 7 o'clock, it's going to be the 8th, 9th inning. I just don't see it.
Mason going to drive himself?
Yeah. Wow. Well, his mom could take him. Like, whatever. Like, I just don't see it happening. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, so it is what it is. Let's go to John in Rosendale. John, what's going on, pal?
Hey, I think what they're doing, they're playing for the split by changing this lineup like that. Putting in Sale first, assuming he's going to get blown up. I think that's the point you're making. And I think they're just thinking, you know, why put our number one against our number one and take the chance? They're playing for the split to get home and be able to ride it.
John, if you're playing for the split, what does it matter if you pitch them game one or game two?
Well, because it could happen, you know, either way. It could if he blows up first game, and then Erod doesn't do well. I think they just stand a better chance if they don't put Erod up there first, and he faces the harder lineup or the harder pitcher. You know, you're better off with Sale.
Thanks for the call. It's everything to do with Hauk and Pivetta. If Sale goes game two, and he goes an inning, and Hauk has to go five. Then he's down. You know, Fergie can't start game four, you know, because it's too close. That extra day means everything. So if he does it on Friday, he can still come back and go game four. It's all about game four, you know, and one of those guys will be a reliever, and whoever kind of gets used up, whatever, will end up being like your game four starter. So I think to me, it's more about manipulating it and being able to have Hauk or Pivetta, whoever comes in long after Sale, available for game four.
Well, could this have anything to do with how bad Erod looked at Tropicana versus how good he looked back at Fenway?
I don't think Erod plays a role in this at all.
Is it an environment that you don't
I don't think Erod plays a role. This is about Sale. This is about Sale and Eovaldi. Erod gets game three. Sale and Eovaldi, this is all about those two. And to me, it's think about it.
But why aren't you starting with your two best pitchers, though? You said Erod has more. I have more confidence personally in Erod than I do in Chris Sale right now.
Yes.
So wouldn't you go Eovaldi game one, Erod game two, if you want to start with your two best guys?
I told you the game three starter can't go an inning because you get game four and game five right after it. You can't do it. So I mean, to me, it's like your confidence guy. Okay, it's Eovaldi. He goes game two. Erod goes game three, and game one, all hands on deck. And it allows me to kind of manipulate Hauk and Pivetta. That's all, moving forward. So we'll see. An interesting call. We'll get that tomorrow night. Looks like Framber Valdez versus Chris Sale, game one, down in Houston. All right, more on this and the weekend for the Pats. That's coming up next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Yeah. We're going Chris and we're going Nate. Chris is starting game one, Nate is starting game two. It's a 7-game series. You got to win 4. everybody has to be part of this, and we feel comfortable with Chris with the rest that he got, and obviously giving Nate one more day is going to benefit the off day, the structure of the bullpen tomorrow, so we should be okay.
That was Alex Poor making the announcement just moments ago that Chris Sale will be the starter in Game 1. Eovaldi Game 2 gives Nate an extra day off, as he pointed out. But I still think this kind of has, when you map out a rotation or pitching staff the rest of the series, using guys like Pivetta and how Game 1 makes it easier for him to bounce back later in the series than using them in Game 2 if Sale was pitching. Gets too close to Game 4. You know what I mean? Gets game too close to Game 5. You got to worry about 3, 4, 5, back to back to back. You know, there's no days off in between there, and I think this is really about making it easier to use those guys as the series goes on. Let's go to Nick in New Hampshire, who's got some thoughts on why Chris Sale's going Game 1. Nick, go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, I definitely think there's a bit of strategy behind putting Sale in there. I think he's going to be one of those guys that you get a good win out of him. He brings a lot of energy to the team, and the rest of the guys will feed off that. But on the same hand, I think if he were to get blown out, pissed off Chris Sale is pretty good to pull in from the bullpen come Game 4. Have a good night, guys.
So here's the thing. So you obviously have less faith in Chris Sale as opposed to Eovaldi.
I don't
obviously
because that
is the main thing. Okay,
yes.
So you're hoping that Sale figures it out. And if he doesn't, you have a safety net.
Mm-hmm.
With Eovaldi, you say, you know what? I'm not worried about him. I'll figure that out when I get there. Because he's the guy that, with the proven track record.
Right.
All right. So, I mean, that's really it. Don't overthink it then, right?
No. So you, when you think about the way they used guys.
Or why not use.
How goes. Pivetta goes Game 1 to help Erod, right? This last series.
Yeah.
And he's able to come back Game 3. It was an off day. And give you 4 outstanding innings and help you win that game 3. So then Game 4, because Erod only threw an inning, he was able to come back and start. It was good, but then he had to bring Houck back for just one. He threw a crap load there in that second game on Saturday. So all these guys, they're trying to figure out like 2 days rest. So where can I use these guys? So if Sale goes Game 1 and I'm like, it's whatever, I'm going with Pivetta or Houck, I don't care. Like early on, we're going to ride this out. We got to win Game 1. We're going to stay in this game. You got a pretty good idea that Volley's going to give you five plus.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So
5 plus, huh?
Yeah. So I'm just, well, 5.
Has he done
5
that?
And a third,
okay.
5 and 2/3.
Okay.
Like, that's kind of where he lives. So it just sort of sets you up to have a little bit fresher arms maybe in that Game 3, one of those two guys, and then you got to figure out which one of them you want to start in Game 4.
Well, I'll tell you what you're going to get. You'll obviously get a good defensive play behind him. You know, 9 times out of 10, you know, those guys play really well behind him. There's always a heightened sense of, work to be done with those guys, especially it's a big game. So, listen, I'm great. I think it's great. Perfect.
I think it's interesting. I think it's an interesting move, but I think there's a strategy obviously behind it, and my guess is that it ties in more with those guys. So, I don't know. I don't know how you feel about this game, this series.
Does it make you feel better about the game? I would say that. Like, before he makes that announcement, I think everyone kind of is understanding that it's going to be Eovaldi and that Sale would pitch Game 2. Do you feel better or worse about it now? I mean, honest to God. Like, on one hand, you're looking at this lineup of the Houston Astros. You're going, holy crap. There's no room to breathe. They're just constantly coming at you, 7 deep. And then you go, okay, and now you're going to start Chris Sale. I mean, it's Pivetta. Do you feel so good about Pivetta that, you know, you don't care what happens with Chris Sale? I mean, you feel better or worse?
Well, no, it's just, to me, it's like, remember like when Erod had that start in Game 4? Everyone's like, why even start Erod? Why not just go to Houck? And it was like, because Erod has the potential of doing what he did and be able to save Houck. Houck looked like crap for one inning. He threw 60 pitches 2 days ago, 2 days before that, 3 days before that. It was 2 days rest. It wasn't good. So you're in the same boat because you could sit there and say, why wouldn't you just start Pivetta? Why wouldn't you just start Houck? You know, because I think Alex looks at them as difference makers in his bullpen. You know, and if he can go out and for the same reason why nobody wanted Erod to start that game in Game 4, say, if he goes out there and gives you 3, 4, 5 innings, like, now you are set up so much better than, say, a guy like Pivetta and Howe coming in and using Sale out of a bullpen. He's not a weapon out of the bullpen. You got to find the right spot. Like, if you don't have confidence in him in starting, you know, you sure as hell can't use him in the bullpen. And I think in today's game, I think guys like Pivetta and Howe, probably more important because how they can change games and how many games they can pitch in and what they can do when they come into a line that will come into a certain game and matchup. So he wants to protect those two guys. That's why Sale's getting the ball now in game one, I think, is to kind of protect them and be able to help their usage in that 3-4-5 at home. Colton in Seaport. What's up, Colton? You're on with Lou and Christian.
Hey, Lou and Christian. So here it is for me. Game one in a best of seven on the road isn't a must win. So if you burn through Evaldi in game one, say you take the loss, you lose 3-2. Game two, you're coming back in a must win because you go down 2-0 against this team, you got no shot. If you split on the road, you come back to Boston, you can take care of business right there. But I think because it's a best of seven, you see what Sale has. If he gets through the lineup once and gives you three innings, so be it.
Yeah. No, I agree. Sale was going to be in the rotation. A lot of people want him out of the bullpen. That was just never going to happen. And I don't know if people were just saying it because they knew it was going to happen so they could be pissed about something. I have no idea. But he was going to be in this rotation. So I don't know how confident you are. Are you more confident? I threw this question out. Are you more confident with the Red Sox now that you know Sale's on the mound game one this week and then you are the Patriots?
Yeah, I think the line must have moved, though. I don't know if the betting world looks at Pivetta and Houck as like some sort of like savior. I don't think the betting world is paying attention to who's backing him up, because really that's what it is, right? It's just a safety net.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what those guys are. And I think they're valuable in these types of series. That's all. You know, they are. And this is the advantage you have is Houck and Pivetta, because they don't have it. And the biggest news of the day was probably that Lance McCullers looks like their ace, the Houston Astros ace, looks like he's going to be left off the roster because of elbow tightness, which is enormous. And you got Framber Valdez going game one, who got hit around by the White Sox. You got Luis Garcia game two, who got hit around by the White Sox. So this comes down to the bats. I think we all know that. But if you can get both starters out early, like you saw at Fenway Park against the Tampa Bay Rays, or even that second game in Tampa Bay, advantage you, because you have better pitchers coming in the third inning than they do.
Well,
let's go to Paul in Portsmouth. Paul, what's up? You're on with Lou and Christian.
Gentlemen, is it every time, this time of year, every year, I see the same rotation philosophy that should be used throughout the year? Why doesn't a guy pitch his most effective innings and only his most effective innings? That's the first three innings, and then he's done. Number two comes in for three innings. Number three comes in for three innings. There's your nine-inning game. That original starter is not going to pitch for 3 days, not for 5 days. And throughout the year, you have more of a platooning, shorter pitching duration, the same thing they do in the playoffs to be effective. Why isn't
Paul, are you a stat guy?
Throughout the
are
year?
You a numbers stat guy, analyst?
Nope, no, I'm not. No, I coached at the college level doing double headers for seven innings, and it was very effective. Then I watched the pros do it in the playoffs. Very effective. Why don't we do it for 162 games? And so, gentlemen,
how many pitchers do you want in your bullpen? A five-man rotation? So every 3 days, these guys all throw three, and three, everybody just for 3 days, and then the fourth day? Because 12 guys.
Whatever the healthy, most effective short segment is, Throughout the 162 games.
Paul, listen, I can't do that. So now you got to have Matt Barnes, a three-inning guy. Ottavino's got to go three innings. Like, everyone just goes three innings? Like, no. I mean, everyone's questioning whether starters go long enough as it is, and you want them to go shorter? You want starters to go three, and their middle relief go three, and everybody go three? I can't do that. I don't want to watch that. By the way, the Dodgers came out with their lineup. I was expecting to see Mookie hit ninth. It's like another weird strategy, you know what I mean? But no, they got their normal lineup. Yeah. I'm kind of looking forward to that game tonight. You know, you're San Fran. You want LA to win.
Of course, I want LA to win. Dodger Red Sox round two.
No, I don't. Yeah. Well, listen, I just want the Dodgers to lose because this stupid thing they're doing tonight. All right, listen, we got last call. It's coming up next.
Our mindset is on a championship. To be a championship, you want to be clean. Like, as an offense, our goal should be to score every drive. When you score every drive, how can you lose? When we fall short of that, that's when I kind of get like worried a little bit, because when you're on a roll like this, you start thinking about a Super Bowl. You know, I mean, that's just the reality of it.
Amari Cooper.
K.O.D.
Amari Cooper, after that big win against the Giants, says,
we're going to the Super Bowl.
You start thinking about a Super Bowl 5 games in. That's your hope, Patriots fans, that they're thinking about a Super Bowl.
They're thinking about L.A.
Bye week next week. They're thinking about a vacation. They're thinking about an easy win coming into Gillette. Team's 0-3 at home. They're going to stomp the Patriots because they're already 5 weeks in thinking about the Super Bowl.
They're thinking about the Super Bowl halftime show. You think Eminem will get a selfie with me? What about Dre? You think Snoop Dogg's going to be there? Oh, my God. This is going to be the best. I'm going to go out and watch it.
That's a problem.
It's, yeah.
You know, they were asking, just real quick, they were asking J.C. Jackson. So
hold
JC,
on, we have that sound, actually.
Oh, we do?
Yeah.
Oh, even better.
So J.C. Jackson, they were asking about this offense. He actually said at one point this is the best offense they faced all year, which, of course, they're going to. But then they asked him the difficulty in covering C.D. Lamb in the red zone.
He got to deal with me, too. I mean, he's pretty good, but he got to deal with my scrims, too. So that's how I look at it.
I kind of like it.
I loved it. He's like, yeah, tell me about how good CeeDee Lamb is. Tell me about how good Amari Cooper is. So, wait a second. I mean, like, it's not like J.C. Jackson is just going to lay down and let himself get pushed around. And for a guy that had a terrible game last week, two penalties, getting thrown all over, missing balls, bad angles, you don't think he wants to kind of make up for it?
Well, it's to your point, too. I mean, Cooks really didn't do anything in this game, you know, in Houston. You know, they used other guys.
Yeah.
But the buy-in factor of Bill Belichick talking to this team that really isn't like a Patriots team of the past, you know, trying to get them to buy in, you know, that they got to worry about Houston and Davis Mills and these weapons and these running backs. And, you know, the guys are sort of like, come on, man, they're not that good, right? And they looked like they felt that way in the first half
because
they went up and down the field on them. You don't need to convince them about this week.
This is kind of what I'm talking about as far as like, okay, this huge challenge, let's have our best. Let's not take anything for granted. Let's put in extra time. I mean, do you think, as opposed to the Cowboys, like, hey, we've arrived. We're talking, Troy Aikman says we're building something special. I mean, Jerry Jones says this is the best team in 10 years. This is a Super Bowl quality team. Every single platform, ESPN, Fox, the Dallas Cowboys are going to the Super Bowl. They're the favorite now.
Yeah. I think it's
perfect situation.
Yeah,
by the way, comes that upset.
This hour of Maloney and Forey brought to you by East Coast Metal Roofing. So, yeah, I think it sets up. And we'll get more into this game. We'll get more into game one as well tomorrow for the Sox. Looks like Sale versus Framber Valdez. That's an interesting call. Let's take one more call here before we get through the last call. Let's go to Brock in Middleborough. Brock, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
I'm feeling I like the Sale start in game one for a couple reasons. Because, like you said, we got the safety net behind him, so if he doesn't do well, he doesn't do well. But more importantly, even when he's not throwing well, everybody on the team loves Chris Sale. So there's a chance he goes out, and if he gives you three or four really good innings, that could be tone-setting, and that emotion and momentum could shoot this team out of a cannon on game one. And, I mean, you've seen it set up the whole series where game one ends up, a team carries that. And, I mean, we've seen it before where they get behind Sale, whether he's doing well or not. So if he does well, it's, you know, high reward for a low risk.
Hmm. Okay.
Right. I like it.
I'm down with it.
Here's the other thing, too, to factor in. It gives you, like I said, Evaldi game two and game six. He wasn't going 1-4-7 anyway. Game two and game six, both games on the road. You know, and it's just like if it's 3-2, you're down 2-3, whatever, right? You got game six, you got Evaldi. And you either feel better about him starting on the road to either close it out or to keep the series going, right? And I think you think about who you want to start on the road, which I think are the tough games. You get Sale out of the way with Pivetta and Houck sitting on his neck kind of coming in. But then you got Evaldi game two to even the series. If it doesn't go well, they'll take a 2-0 lead. And then you got Evaldi game six on the road, which I think factors in. But I think it really has more to do with Pivetta and Houck and how they can use him the rest of the series. All right, let's do last call. Last call brought to you by Cars for Kids. The easy way to donate your car. Donate today, and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com or 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. So our boy John Anderson, producer of the Midday Show, wrote an article about this overrated Dallas Cowboys defense and that how they are no match to one Mac Jones. He actually got some national attention.
He did. Very proud of John Anderson.
He got some national attention because Mina Kimes and Kevin Clark were on ESPN's podcast, and they talked about how ridiculous of a take this is.
Take? I want you to rate this take on a scale of 1 through 10, just in terms of pure fire.
Okay.
And then I'm going to tell you the source of the take.
Wow.
All right, I'll tell you at the beginning.
Just get through
it. The take is from WEEI, which, for people who don't know, look it up. It's the New England's like radio station. Overrated Cowboys defense should be no match for Mac Jones.
Oh, God. Well, okay, so I don't think it's true, but I also appreciate the take. So, like, you and I, we're both obviously students of fire takes.
Takesters.
And I appreciate this take. The take I would give it's like a 7.5. It's not...
Yeah, it's not like...
Like, the 9.5 would be Mac Jones is a better quarterback than Dak Prescott.
Okay, well, I mean,
they didn't dog it too much.
No,
she
they
was
dog
hoping
it too much.
She would go there, but you know, they appreciate the take.
I don't really understand the opening of how she was setting up was kind of lame.
No, she didn't want to get to it. I don't know, but yeah,
take.
I appreciate the take. It's a good take by John Anderson. We'll see if it's
strong.
True. We'll
see if it's true. Getting noticed.
He got you on board.
He did. Well, I mean,
you're loving what
the headline is probably written by Bradford, but the premise is strong. That's what I appreciate. I appreciate his premise.
Yes, it is. All right, so listen, tomorrow we got Fitzy will be joining us tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Correct? Yeah.
Well, we got a huge cast tomorrow.
Mike Lombardi.
Yep.
We'll talk to him at 4:00. Nick Kostos at 5:30 to make some cash. We got a big weekend to talk about. Bruins open up against the Stars. You got Pats, Cowboys, and of course Game 1, Game 2, Sox and Astros. We'll hit all of that tomorrow too. We'll see you then.
Sunday, the Patriots face another tough test.
Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys.
It's Patriots. Cowboys.
Steps into it.
Don't miss a beat.
With wall-to-wall coverage right here.
The destination for Patriots fans.
WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.